Our next speaker is Robin Rocio.
Thank you. You see here the people who've contributed, and I mostly want to thank Andrew Kozer. He actually put this presentation together, but he could not be here, so hopefully I can do some justice to his presentation. We're looking at life cycle analysis, and it's a compilation and evaluation of the inputs, outputs, and potential environmental impacts of a product system throughout the life cycle. And you see the graphic on the right, starting from the raw materials to getting to the end of the life, is how we traditionally think of life cycle analysis. And one of the things that we're looking at here is the plastics, and as other people have mentioned, every landscaper has seen that pile of plastic pots that you saw on the first slide. So that's kind of our black eye in terms of nursery production, and we wanted to assess through the research what are we really using in terms of carbon, and looking at the life cycle analysis environmental impact. So we want to account for all the inputs and outputs in the process, and the inputs are things like electric materials, fossil fuels, water, and so forth. The outputs are the waste and the byproducts. And this is similar to just basic accounting, only we're using a measurement of carbon rather than dollars and cents. And as you see, the trees sequester the carbon, but then we release that carbon dioxide in terms of the activities that we do to take care of the trees, and then when the materials from the trees decompose. And you can also change one part of the production to see what it means in terms of the big picture. For example, like using tags that are recyclable versus plastic ones. And life cycle analysis is something that you see more and more in horticulture. And Dwayne Ingram is here. He's been publishing quite a bit in the various journals of our organization looking at life cycle analysis. So it's something that's being more and more used. We have four different phases in the life cycle analysis, and they're listed here. The goal and scoping, the life cycle inventory, the life cycle impact assessment, and the interpretation. And the first one is the goals, and we want to define what we mean by that and how we measure each of these. Our first goal is to calculate the carbon footprint for a petunia plant grown in a conventional plastic container, and then compare the relative differences in what we call cradle to gate carbon footprinting. We usually think of cradle to grave, but we're only looking at starting with the inputs and going to the consumer or installing it in a landscape, not to the total, you know, death of the plant. So we didn't include include the infrastructure, in other words, the buildings, and this is sort of typical in life cycle analysis. We just started with things that the grower control within the production process, so the cradle to gate, what happens in the greenhouse, and then transporting that to the point of sales. So we had somewhat limited information regarding the production of the containers, so we didn't look at how the containers were produced and how they got to that point. We looked at things that the grower could control. So mainly with inside the greenhouse, the propagation, the inputs, the container, the media, the irrigation, fertilization, weed control, and then the market ready production, the container, the label, the growing mix, the irrigation, the fertilizer, and the pest control, and then transporting it to the garden center. And then we looked at the life cycle inventory, and that is, we used a large-scale commercial greenhouse, Mid-American Growers, and they're 70 acres under glass, and they serve markets in Chicago, St. Louis, and Indianapolis metropolitan areas, so it's a big grower that impacts a lot of people in the Midwest. And we interviewed 8 main growers at that facility, to identify the production steps involved in this petunia production. And we metered the filling machines, the irrigation systems, the lightings, et cetera, to look at the electrical demand. And we conducted direct experiments to look at the performance of the various biocontainers. And you've heard some of that already today. And we used proprietary inventory industry data sources to fill any voids, and that was Eclonovit. So if you look at the total emissions, the biggest part is from the plug. The tray, first of all, the container is 16%, and then the tray that we carry them in is 20%, but the plug is almost half of the CO2 emissions that we're looking at. And then if we break the plug down into the various inputs, it's mainly electricity for lighting and irrigation, but also the wood waste heat, the growing mix, the plug tray, and then the total plug. And we only looked at inputs that were half a percent or more toward the emissions of a given product. Like I said, electric is the main one. So then we looked at life cycle assessment phases. And here are the different pots you've heard mentioned already. Plastic, the bioplastic, core, manure, peat, the biosleeve, the slotted rice, solid rice, straw, and wood fiber. And we didn't really find much difference across containers, only secondary impacts. If we look at going again to water use, as we've seen before, this is the main difference. And the sleeves and the slotted rice hull were similar and used more water. And then we look at the plastic, the control, the sleeve, the bioplastic, the solid rice hull, and the straw are sort of all in a category using moderate. And then core, manure, peat, and wood fiber are using a lot of water. Short-term water use. So total water use, again, the biocontainers that we use, the particular ones we use a lot, manure, straw, and wood fiber, more so than the control plastic, which is somewhat similar to the bioplastic and the solid rice hull. So what does this mean? Well, carbon footprinting, global warming potential for petunia production did not change substantially as the container changed. The container accounted for only about 16% of the total carbon footprint in the scenarios that we saw. And even if the production of a given biocontainer had half the carbon emissions of the conventional plastic pot, the overall impact would be below the 15% threshold for significance. So energy efficient lighting during plug production would have the largest impact on sustainability. And past market studies have shown that the behind-the-scenes efforts to increase sustainability do not really increase consumer interest. Maybe that's changing over time. But the poorest biocontainers will increase water demand, and areas where water is in limited supply or strictly regulated, the water footprint is probably more important than the carbon in assessing sustainability. Again, we'd like to thank all of our partners who funded this project, particularly the SCRI grant, and all the people that provided the inputs. And again, I apologize that Andrew should be here and be able to probably present this better and answer questions better, but I will try if you have questions.
Questions for Robin?
Okay, thanks.